This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Welcome, everyone. It's great to see a lot of young people, and I hope that some of you, at some point in the future, if you end up going overseas especially, will end up doing some language learning. As young people, we definitely have a lot of potential to do that, but not just young people. And I want to mention that today, that one of the things about language, I actually grew up in Southeastern Africa, and I did grow up from the age of 8 with a second language. So I don't know if any of you all know Pennsylvania Dutch or speak that at home or another language, but I know what it's like to grow up with another language from a fairly young age, 8 years old. So one of the things that I've noticed as I come to the United States, compared to places I've been in Africa, in the Middle East, in Asia, I noticed that people generally tend to think of language learners as super intelligent people. You know, someone who learns a language, he's in that genius category. He's kind of above average, higher than normal. You know, he must be really smart if he can do that. And that's just a total misconception. And I'd like to start off by just exploding that myth for you all here a little bit. As all of us are made, are humans, and we are made in the image of God. Language is intricately part of who we are. I think we all know that if we stop and think about it with our first language. We grow up speaking English. We learned it effortlessly. We have this ability to communicate. Language is intricately part of who we are. But it even works to a certain extent this way with a second language. As humans, we are just innately wired for language. We are geared for this stuff. It's not an Einstein type of category. We are just made to learn language. Even as adults, we have the capacity. Of course, the younger we are, the easier it is. And things change, and we won't get into all of the theory of that today. But just to start off here, giving you a little bit of a picture and a foundation that language learning is something that we have the innate capacity to do. When God created the world, the first verb, really, that we have in the Bible, I mean, God created, but how did he do that? The first thing we really have written down is that God spoke. And if you think about it, you and I are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of the God who speaks. And we also, as speaking beings, it's intricately part of what it means to be made in the image of God. We have this ability to speak. We have this ability to understand and communicate. And that's not limited to just one language. In most parts of the world, maybe, or at least the majority of the parts of the world that I've been in, it's very normal for people to speak 2 languages, 3 languages, maybe 5 languages in the course of one day. They grew up around it. But here in the United States, we live in a monolingual society, so we think that that's a genius act if you can speak another language. Not true. So just to start off with, I want to put that in your minds. And I'd like to start off with a little bit of a practical demonstration here, just to kind of break the ice and get you all thinking about language learning. So, I would like to see how many people, please raise your hand if you speak a second language, even if it's just simple conversation. Great. How many of you have studied or learned a language a little bit, but you can't really say that much? Great. How many of you have never really studied another language at all? Oh, wow. I don't even see any. Maybe one hand? Okay, I'm surprised. That's wonderful. So obviously you came to this workshop because you had some level of interest in the topic. So that's great. Or maybe you had language at school and you were, you know, you had to. I don't know. So. But I need 2 helpers to come up here and help me. Do I have any volunteers? One. Someone else. Two. All right. Come on up. I hope the rest of you can see. Why don't you come up and just ignore the projector. We don't need to see this. Come and stand right here. Just careful of the laptop. All right. So I'm just going to take a couple minutes here and just do something with language and just to see about how you understand and process language and show you that it's not really that hard. All right? So I have a language. I won't tell you what it is. You can guess when I'm done. But I've got a few objects here. I've got a cup and a book and a pen and a water bottle and a table. All right? So I'm going to say the name of some object, and then I'm going to ask you to point to the right one. So listen, and everybody watch, all right? So, Biblion. And you don't have to say it, just listen. No pressure, if this is not a test. This is all on me. Biblion. Biblion. Poterion. Poterion. So now point to the one that I say. Poterion. Mm-hmm. Biblion. Poterion. Biblion. Kalamon. Kalamon. Kalamos. Kalamos. Mm. Poterion. Mm-hmm. Poterion. Biblion. Kalamos. Trapeza. 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 Mm-hmm. Trapeza. Mm-hmm. Poterion. Mm-hmm. Kalamos. Mm-hmm. Biblion. Poterion. Kalamos. Biblion. Trapeza. Oh, that looks pretty easy, right? All right. Now, Joseph, why don't you come up here and help me? Elte ode. Epi ripocato. Chrome lave me aron in evco poteron ie. Lave poterion. Lave poterion. Thes to poterion epi tein trapezan. Thes to poterion epi tein trapezan. Epi. Mm-hmm. Lave to poterion. Thes to poterion epi tein trapezan. Lave ton kalamon. Thes ton kalamon epi to biblion. Lave to biblion. Lave to biblion. Thes to biblion epi to poterion. Okay, thank you. Now you try it. Jacob first. Lave to poterion. Thes to poterion epi to biblion. Good. Lave to biblion. Lave to biblion. Good. Mm-hmm. Thes to biblion epi tein trapezan. Thes to biblion epi tein trapezan. Good. Thank you. That was great. That was amazing. Like, I gave you all some combinations that you haven't really heard before, and you knew what to do. And I just want to show you that we process language very naturally. I can teach you a word, and you can hear another word in another context, and then you use it very naturally. You understand it as meaning. You understand it as a system of communication. So that's just an illustration to show you that it's not that hard if you do it right. And does anyone have any kind of guess, besides those who know me very well, what language we were doing? Greek? You're right. That was Biblical Greek, and Joseph helps me teach. And if you're interested in learning for hours on end that way, talk to us. We can give you some info. So, why am I here giving this talk? What is the motivation? Why should we be talking about language learning? What makes it so important? Well, obviously, it has to do with communicating the gospel. If we want to do mission work, if we want to disciple people, if we want to train people, if we want to see people become mature believers and even churches becoming strong in another language, in another country, we can't do it very effectively in English. We can try, but it won't be effective. So I've seen so many places in the world where you have missionaries who are doing their work, but they don't really speak the local language. They might have learned a little bit, but they can't preach in it, they can't have a Bible study in it, they can't really counsel people in it. They're kind of there, and they're doing a little bit of good, they smile at people, they kind of like people, but they're not really birthing believers in that language. And that's, I don't know about you, but that's really a burden on my heart. It's something that has bothered me so much, and I just continually come back to the need for effective transmission of truth, effective transmission of the Bible, communication about truth. So language learning enables effective ministry. We're talking about the why. What's the motivation for this? So just going to another part of the world, just getting on a plane and coming out in Uganda, I'll be in that part of the world, that section of the world, but I'm not necessarily going to be in their world, if you know what I mean. I'm not necessarily going to be connecting with those people just because I'm there. They have this whole system of thinking and way of looking at the world and way of talking. And I can be in that part of the world and not be a part of their world. So think about your church. Think about your experience Sunday by Sunday, and think about your pastor. Now imagine that your pastor came from China to serve your congregation, and he loves you all, but he speaks with broken English, and when he preaches, you can hardly understand what he's saying. It's pretty simple stuff. And, you know, how would you like that? I don't think most of us would be happy with that. Imagine that you're facing some really difficult things in your family life or your job, or you're just like, you need some advice. Like, are you going to run to that person? Are you going to run to the Chinese pastor and share your heart with him? Probably not. You don't feel like he really can understand you and communicate with you. So you're going to go to someone who can really connect with you on a heart level, because he's able to communicate with you, and he's not just stumbling, but he's able to actually feel you out and counsel you. That's the kind of person that we all want, right? So if I'm going to another country, and again, I'm basing this whole talk on the idea of going to another country. So I think language learning is very effective if you're learning it, you're ministering to Hispanics or someone locally. I'm huge push for that as well. But we're talking about, in this section at least, missions in terms of going to another country, especially where there's a different culture and language. So I'm not against short-term trips, but you have to be careful. I mean, you can do so many short-term trips and they really don't have much good. Like, they're really fun for the person doing it, but what is it like for the person on the other end? Is it benefiting them? It's great if I can go on a short-term trip and it helps me grow, but what about the fruit that I'm leaving behind, right? So that's what we're talking about here today. Just thinking of how God communicated with us. He sent us a human being, Jesus. He was a Jew. I imagine him sitting around with other people and laughing at their jokes. Like, he understood people, you know? He wasn't removed from them like the Chinese pastor who can't speak English, you know? He was connected. That's how God communicated with us, and that's how God wants us to communicate with others, which leads into my next point, that why you should learn a language. Language learning is loving people. Language learning is valuing people. So just, it's really about loving them. So just imagine that someone's getting married to a bride from another country, speaks another language, and he says he loves her, but then he never tries to learn how to speak her language. Do you think she's going to believe him? I don't think so. Love is when we invest time and energy into what that other person's interested in, when we really try to meet them where they're at. Loving people is thinking in their thought patterns and caring enough to understand their worldview and listening to their questions, feeling their burdens, respecting them, identifying with them. And when we invest this time and energy in learning someone else's language, it tells them that they're worth something. So I can't tell you how many times in my life, if I've been in another country, and even if I don't really know how to speak that language very well, if I just say a few phrases, a couple words of hello, a greeting, oh, they just light up. It's like, you know, they appreciated that so much. And that's only in continuing and increasing that way when you're going on and interacting with people in society. There's something about valuing a person's language that they take it as you valuing them personally. I'm not sure what the best way is to communicate this, but a parallel that I've thought of has to do with singing. So if you've ever been in a choir or a situation where you're singing and someone is singing off tune, and so you want to tell them that they're singing off tune, but, you know, it's kind of touchy because if you tell them they're singing off tune, that would be maybe kind of rude to them, or maybe, you know, they'll take it pretty personally. And he's like, no, I'm not talking about you and you being a bad person. It's just your singing, you know, but it's kind of hard to separate those. If you tell someone they're singing off tune, oh, you know, they're just going to feel so devalued. And so it's a little bit, I don't know if that's an illustration that connects, but it's a little bit like that with language. If I show a person that I value his language enough to try to connect with him, he automatically feels like I value him and everything about him and his whole people group. And wow, he's ready to be more open. So sure, it's different from culture to culture. Some cultures like Europe, people aren't as upfront, you know, but in general in the world, this is something that I've observed. So we value people. And a little bit goes a long way. Actually, a very long way. Language learning fosters an understanding of the gospel on a heart level. So, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone who has English as a second language, and I've tried to tell them something, and they're like, yeah, I understand. I'm not just talking about spiritual topics, but just anything. And then you turn around, and it's like, oh, you realize that they actually didn't understand what I was telling them. And if you can speak their language, then you speak their language and you explain it and they're like, oh, you know, then, or you realize from them not doing the right thing that they didn't understand it. It's just, there's like this disconnect. Don't ask me to explain exactly why it is that way, but it just is that way. And so when we're talking about communicating the gospel, right, we're talking about communicating truth about God. That's something that we don't, there's too much risk involved there. We don't want to play around with that. We want to make sure that they understand it. So let me tell you a story. I was in Southeast Asia, and we're sitting around in our family's living room, and we had a friend over, who was a nice man, who was doing some English teaching with us. And I was telling him, we were all talking in English, and I was telling him about a friend I knew whose son had a similar problem to his son, or actually daughter. This man's son had a similar problem to someone else's daughter that I knew, and that was that every night he would wet his bed, and he'd go to school, so ashamed. And he couldn't get over this problem. So I was telling our friend in English that, oh, you know, I had this, and this fellow, our friend, was a Muslim, and he wasn't really, you know, wanting to be open that much to Christianity, but we were all friends, and he was curious about what we believed, and we could talk about those things. So I was telling him about my friend in America whose daughter had the same problem, and I said, well, they prayed about it in the name of Jesus, and it never happened again. It totally fixed it. And talked really slowly, explaining all this in English, and I mean, he had to have understood it. But as soon as I was finished, he kind of leans over and says, tell it to me again, tell it in my language. I mean, he wouldn't have done that if it wasn't a spiritual topic, I don't think, but it's like, he didn't understand it yet quite as much as he wanted to, and he had to have it in his own language to do that. And I never forgot that. It's so essential to meet people at their level of understanding in their own language, where you can ensure a better transmission and understanding of the message at a heart level. Language learning helps to mitigate against syncretism. Okay, basically what that means, in simpler words, is that it helps to create communities of faith and churches that have less of a mixture of their own beliefs and ideas and are more in line with what the Bible says. So we have this Tower of Babel history in the Bible, right? And all these languages got dispersed, and man, what a curse that was. If only that hadn't happened, well, wouldn't that make life a whole lot easier, especially for us missionaries? Well, actually, the whole Tower of Babel thing is sort of like a safety mechanism that God has put into place, because if I want to go over to some country, some tribe in Africa, and start preaching to them, guess what would happen if I would show up the first week and start telling them all about Jesus and all about God and how to follow him, and they'd understand the same language, but they have completely different ways of thinking. They'd hear what I'm saying, and if they want to do it, they would start incorporating that in, but it wouldn't sink down in a deeper level and change the way they think. So when a missionary goes to another people group, guess what he has to do if he doesn't know the language? He's got to spend a couple years just really as a learner, really as a person who's feeling out and understanding, how do these people think? What do they see in the world? What do they believe about spiritual things? And he's got to figure out so many things in conjunction with his language learning, and his language learning feeds in and drives that by the time he's understanding the language well, he's also starting to understand how the people think. And guess what? When he starts opening his mouth to bring the biblical truth, he's going to give it to them in such a way that it hits them where they need it, and so it doesn't get pasted over the top and create this mixture of pagan Christianity. Like, it's a safety mechanism. I mean, we look at it as a curse, but God actually uses it as a blessing. But you know what that means? It means a lot of extra struggle for us and a lot of humility. So that's the way we need to come. Language and culture are inseparable. If you want to learn about a people group's thinking, beliefs, you have to listen to their stories. You know, you can't, the way people talk about life, the way they think about everything. I don't want to take time to get a lot of examples here, but just it's so connected with the words they use and the way they describe things. You just can't pull the two apart. How people think, what they do, why they do what they do. If you don't understand their language, you're not going to understand that, and you're not going to be able to bring a message to them in a way that will really meet them effectively. So, what is the cost of effective language learning? This is by no means an exhaustive list. I'm just going to give you a few things that I thought of. It takes a lot of financial investment. So, to really learn a language well, it might mean paying for some materials or school or time, or just the fact that if you're not working as much as you used to be because you're spending this extra time learning language and you've still got to eat somehow, you know, that's a lot of money. So it requires a lot of motivation, a lot of internal energy, persistence, and time commitment. It takes a lot of time. You don't just learn a language in a few hours. If you've seen an ad on Pimsleur for learning it in 10 days, don't believe it. They'll get you speaking a few sentences in 10 days, but that's not what we're talking about here, about really understanding a language. You know, your Chinese pastor friend who's supposed to be preaching in a way that you can understand and his English is all broken, that we heard about him in the beginning. You know, if he does Pimsleur in 10 days, he's not going to get it all. He needs a lot more than that. It takes an incredible amount of time spent with native speakers to get his language level up. Huge amount. Where do you get time? You know, if you're working full time and you're really seriously wanting to learn a language, it might be pretty tough. It might not work. It's not ideal. And then, of course, that needs money. And it takes a high degree of focus. So the more things you're juggling in your life, the less effective you're going to be juggling language learning. If you're really trying to learn this, not just how to say two phrases, but if you're trying to understand that big wall of noise that you're running into, it's going to take a lot of focus and a lot of energy. Language learning is kind of like growing up all over again. If you're going to another country and you're trying to learn another language, you feel so helpless. And you need someone to take you by the hand through these little baby steps to help you along. It's this process. I like to think, I know this is not a direct application of the Bible, but you know the Bible says that unless we become like little children, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, it's kind of like that with language learning too. And that's partly because of the fact that little children, they learn language so well because they have less stress to deal with. Guess what? All they do is experience what's around them and hear people talking simply at them all day, you know, and it just helps them a lot. And language learning is also as consuming as raising children. Those of you who are parents know that that is very consuming. Language learning is that consuming, and maybe more. It takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, and it's a huge commitment. But it's very doable. I'm just trying to give you a realistic picture. What does it cost? So, I want to back up a little bit. Language learning can be compared in some ways to managing or owning your own business. Now, I see we don't have a lot of older people in the room, but how many have managed or owned a business? Let me see your hands. All right, let's just take a few moments here. Tell me, those of you who raised your hands, tell me what does it take to get a business started? What does that mean for your lifestyle, for the other things that you're juggling, for your resources? Managing a business, what does it take? Anyone?
The investment with a little less pay for a while.
Ooh. Investment with less pay for a while.
Mm-hmm.
time. Mm-hmm. What else?
It's best if you enjoy it.
Oh, my. It is best if you enjoy it, yes.
Things don't fall into place, you have to put them in place. Things don't fall into place, you have to put them in place.
Okay, things don't just fall into place, you have to purposefully put them in place. Yeah.
You have to prioritize.
Prioritize. Well, I put down a little bit of a list here on the PowerPoint. And there could be many more things, and you don't have to copy these all down, but just to give you an idea, to start a business takes time and sacrifice, dedication. I mean, just managing a business, especially if you're already working another job and you're trying to start something on the side, you know, compare that to learning another language on the side. We're making an analogy here. Just it takes a lot of vision and discipline, organizational skills, a sense of responsibility. You know, if you're going to make this business succeed, you have to have a certain amount of ownership for the idea. Now, how does that relate to language learning? Well, language learning is a lot like being an entrepreneur and starting your own business. It takes a lot of these same characteristics, and it's not going to happen unless you take initiative to make it happen and you're responsible for the process. So even language learning, if you go take classes at a language school for a year or two, or wherever you're learning, that's great. But that's not it. That's not their responsibility to make sure you get it. That's not going to give you everything you need. You're going to need to be talking to people and using other materials and your own initiative on the side. It's just going to take a lot of things. And unless you feel a sense of responsibility and control for it, it's not going to succeed very well. You can't start a business without a real sense of focus in your life. But everybody knows that it's possible to start a business, and it's possible to succeed and enjoy the fruits of that. You just don't do it if you're already working 60 hours a week. It's like, great idea, I want to start a business. You know, probably going to need to cut somewhere. The cost is very high. It's very doable, but just like starting a business, is a high cost that language learning takes. I'm trying to give you a realistic picture. I'm not negating what I said in the beginning, that it's very doable and we're made in the image of God and we're geared for this stuff. That's all true, but growing up takes a lot of time. Starting a business takes a lot of energy. So if you can just look at these analogies and get a realistic idea of what we're dealing with here. It's harder than you anticipate, but it's very doable. So how about this? What is the cost of neglecting language learning? Wow. So if you are going to another country and they're speaking another language there, what does it cost if you don't learn the language? I think that's a crucial question. So a repercussion, what are the repercussions? One of the repercussions is going to be less effective ministry, ineffective ministry. You're not going to have that connection with the people that I was describing earlier. You might end up with shallow churches that are syncretistic. They've got a mix of their own ways of thinking about things. Hey, they've been doing something in their country for hundreds, if not thousands of years. They'll probably continue doing it that way unless they're really confronted squarely with something from God's word that they're persuaded they need to change. And that's probably not going to happen if it's in a language that they're fuzzy on. So another thing would be that the believer, the missionary, he's going to be locked out of cultural understanding. You're not going to understand how the people think. You're going to be locked out of this whole worldview that they have. You're going to be clueless to why they're doing what they're doing. Okay, I'm overstating it a little bit, but there's going to be things that you won't be able to know why they're doing what they're doing because you're just not able to access that. Another thing that I've seen is that so many missionaries go somewhere and they think, well, I'll just operate in English, and I mean, every place is different, but many times they really do need the local language. And because they don't know it, and they know English, and they tend to stick in little America, like with all the other Americans, you know, life is comfy there. And then people actually resent that. Like, they, people looking on don't like that. They say, wow, this guy's arrogant, you know, he's really stuck up. I'm not attracted to spend time with him or listen to what he says. Seen it happen. And higher missionary attrition rates. More missionaries that leave the field. I mean, there's actually a lot of other reasons, but this is one of the big reasons why missionaries go to another country and come back home. Imagine, I mean, if you're there in the country and you can't really understand the people, you keep feeling critical to them, you can't get over that culture shock, and if you don't know the language very well, that's just compounding that massively, this feeling of, I'm not at home here. But if someone knows the language well, and they have friends in that local place, and they talk in that language, well, they're going to feel more at home, and they're going to be less likely to say, I can't take it here, let me go back to America. So a lot of times, mission organizations do not want to allocate the money that it takes to help their people have more time up front without as many responsibilities, more time to learn language. So they don't give them this extra budget plan for the language learning side of things, and it costs a lot of money to send Western missionaries to other parts of the world. And then these missionaries haven't learned the language and not feeling at home, so they come back to America, and guess what the mission has to do? Well, then they have to go recruit another family, and you start the process all the way over again. And you know what? The mission was afraid of spending money on getting their people to learn the language. Well, they just end up spending more money because they had to replace that person. It happens a lot too. So, how can you be effective in language learning? Plan ahead. You know, it takes a certain amount of time, a certain amount of commitment. It takes a certain amount of financial resources. You can't be doing this in the midst of everything else, of a full load of full-time work or full-time ministry. You need a little bit of space in your life. Just like children, we don't learn languages very well when our lives are overloaded with responsibilities and stress. Guess what? That's what children don't have, that it helps them a lot when they're learning all kinds of things in life, including language. As adults, we're actually very similar in that respect. So we need to count the cost. We need to think ahead about how we can plan for a period when you go to that other country where you're not sucked into some heavy responsibilities right away. Give yourself space, even full-time language learning, language study. Plan ahead for that. Dedicate the time that it takes. Be committed to the task and reap eternal consequences in people's lives. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. What kind of effectiveness do you want? What kind of eternal rewards are you aiming for? Eternal fruit in people's lives. It's our choice, and we can plan ahead. And if I'm thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to go move to such and such country for 10 years, and I'm going to go in August. Well, just plan on going then, or plan it earlier, or plan it accordingly so that you have this blocked out amount of time, just like you buy your airplane ticket for a certain date to go plan a certain amount of time as part of your entry to that country, where you have a chance to be stress-free and learn. Lessen the stress. And the last thing is get some training or input on how to learn languages. So that could be on a number of levels, like what types of materials do you use? Obviously, if there's a language school, go to that. That would be very, very good, but they're probably not going to give you everything that you need. You need, if you're going to succeed in learning a language, you need some help of how to go about that, because There's times when you run out of motivation, you get bogged down, you need some new ideas, you need to get some help. And I have found that extremely helpful myself. You can take a course on language learning methods or activities and techniques that you can use to help your language learning. These types of things are really helpful. For example, how to pronounce different sounds that are really different than anything you have, especially the sounds that might be in your language. So if you're going to learn Hindi, you know, they have all these ra, what you call a retroflexed R, and these different types of sounds. Well, tune up your ear to that and get some help with that. These are things that are good to plan ahead for. And when you have a sense of how one would go about doing that, then your whole trajectory of language learning is going to be more effective. So one can do this before someone would go to another country, or even here in the States, you're trying to get in to learn a language. One could get some idea, get some things to read and so forth, work through some materials on your own, or even take a course. So I have a recommended or suggested course that I have taken and I really like, and it deals with a lot of these things. And you can see the website address there, the ICCT Second Language Acquisition course. There are other types of courses like this around the country. This one is totally online. But if you or someone you know is planning on moving to another country, this is the type of training that could really be helpful and useful. So most people that learn effectively employ a wide range of strategies. They think ahead. They get an idea of how you do it. They know that it's going to be hard. They know it's going to take time. They know it's going to cost. They plan for that. They focus. They get advice as they go. And they are able to plow through in a way that brings them to effective communication. So I'm finished sharing. If you would like a copy of the PowerPoint or any other further reading related to the topics that we've discussed today, send me an email. I have my email address listed there, and I'll be happy to send you that. Or if you can't remember how to get to the Second Language Acquisition Course website that I've suggested, I could paste that in as well again. So thank you all for your attention.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.